that nobody asks me to sing. But in any event, it is good to be here this evening. And thank you all for coming. And appreciate you being out, taking the time to be out this week. And hopefully God has encouraged you. And how many of you, this is your first time to the services? It's your first time. All right, a few folks. Okay, great, great. Glad to have you in. So we're going to kind of catch you up a little bit on what we've been doing. But let's go to our verse to get our minds focused. Psalm 119, verse 18. Psalm 119:18. And let's say that verse prayerfully, asking God to speak and open our hearts to his word this evening. Psalm 119, verse 18. And if you have it, say, to God be the glory. All right. That sounds almost like everyone. All right. So I just want us to think about this. I want you to read it. I'm going to read it. I want you to think about the words, and then we're going to say it prayerfully. All right? So Psalm 119:18, the Word of God says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And that's what we want tonight. We want God to open our eyes. I am but a piano without a pianist if we don't have God here tonight. If the Holy Spirit is not at work, I am just a piano without a pianist. So I need him, and we need him tonight to hear from him. So let's prayerfully say it together, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Together, Psalm 119:18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and thankful to you, God, for life, for strength. We thank you for each person that is here tonight, those that are watching and those who will watch this later. And God, your word is stated not to return void. So that means that every one of us confronted with your word has to make a decision. And that could be a good decision or a bad decision, but we are confronted with the word to make a decision. And I pray that as we hear from you tonight, that you would allow us to make the right decision. Help us, God, to be good listeners. Father, remove distractions, maybe work issues, family issues, health issues, different things that could be on our mind, a phone call that could come in. I pray, God, that you would help us to have our focus on hearing from you tonight and no one else. So we pray and ask your will be done tonight in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We can start with the slides. We're just kind of catching those who haven't been here this week. Brother Pastor Ashton called me, and I was in an airport in Nassau. This was a couple months ago, and he said, "Brother, he said, what do you want for a theme?" And I was struggling, and I was trying to figure out what it was, and it was just as if there was an impression on my heart to preach about faith. And so we put it down, and we kind of went from there. And so that's been our theme from Sunday morning, Sunday night, last night, and tonight, and tomorrow night, Lord willing, will just be about faith. So on Sunday morning, what did we talk about? Faith. All right, faithing. What is faith? All right? And what is faith? Can someone tell me the definition and the action? Who hasn't done it yet? All right. Cyril. Settle confidence. Do you know the action to go with it? You have to stand and do it. You're not sure of the action. Someone help with the action. Okay, let's go. All right. Brother Stephen got it. But I also saw someone raising her hand. Anna, did you want to do it as well? Okay, could you come into the right there so everyone can see you? And show us what it means to have faith. What did we say? Excellent. No matter what she would have done, it would have been great, right? No matter what, she could have clapped or waved her hands in the air, and it wouldn't make a difference. She's three cute. All right. So we talked about what is faith, and then Sunday night. Don't turn. Oh, okay. All right. I'm trying to make them guess. Trying to make them see how they're doing. What did we talk about Sunday night? Sharing your faith. And which passage of scripture did we use? Exodus 20. All right. So that's a good one. And then last night, what did we talk about? trying of your faith. All right, so we talk about the trying of your faith. And what does the trying of your faith work or make? Patience. So let patience have a perfect work. Tonight, we're going to talk about the legacy of faith. A legacy of faith. When you think about faith in the Bible, and specifically the Old Testament, I do not know, maybe there is, and if you, I'm not a debater, I just took a test. Pastor Bez and Sister Michelle have been telling me and my wife to take this test. I am not a debater. So when you hear me say stuff like debate, but I really don't like to debate. I really don't. So, but you may debate me on this next statement, and that's fine. But I do not think there is a person in the Old Testament that portrays a measure of faith like Abraham. Now, you may say someone else. You may say Daniel in the lion's den. You may say all these different things. And I'm not going to argue with you. And if that's what you believe, fine. But I hope that by the end of tonight, you would at least agree that he is one of, if not the, greatest examples of faith in the Old Testament. So my question tonight, as we turn to the next slide, I asked this on Sunday night to lost people, but tonight I ask it to us as saved people, if you're here tonight and you're saved. On a scale of 0 to 10, where would you rate your faith? Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Yes. Okay, because we said 7 is what most unsaved people would say about the other tests. So you had to be, see, this is what happens. When you're here all week, you get to know all the inside jokes, right? Oh, boy. So on a scale of 0 to 10, and this is not for you to answer out loud, this is for you to put into your mind and maybe give yourself a number and say, how much do you believe God? How much do you really trust God? How much do you anticipate God doing a work? How much, when you pray, how much do you really think God's going to answer that prayer? Or are you just praying to say that you prayed? 0 being, I have no faith. 10 meaning, I have all the faith. All my faith is in God. All my faith is in Jesus. Where would you put yourself tonight? So tonight we're going to look at the legacy of faith, starting with Abraham. And we're going to look at some preliminary thoughts. And when we look at the preliminary thoughts, we ask the question, then, what is faith? And we already said it, but just to make sure we understand it, faith is a conviction, a strongly held belief. It's dedicated, it's predominant idea of trust or confidence. We said that the Global Study Bible says faith is a settled confidence that something in the future, something that God has promised, will actually happen because God will make it happen. Faith means that I trust what God says, that if God says it, I stand on what God says. That's my faith. That's my foundation. That's my rock. It is unmovable. You cannot get me to think anything else. You cannot get me to believe that there is no God because I talked to God today. So when you see that I am faithing, so that's what faith is. And faith is so important. We're going to be in the book of Hebrews, so I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be between Hebrews and Genesis tonight. But in Hebrews chapter 11, we already spoke about this because we spoke about Hebrews 11 verse 1. And we call this, what do we call this? This chapter. The Hall of Faith. You've heard of the Hall of Fame, where there are athletes and other individuals who have done tremendous things, and they are placed in the Hall of Faith so people can admire their work. Well, this is what we would call the Hall of Faith, where we admire people for the faith that they presented. And the Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. You cannot please God if you don't believe him. You cannot please God if you don't trust him. No matter what work you do, no matter what song you sing, no matter what message you preach, no matter what prayer you pray, if you don't truly believe God can do it, God is not pleased with that action. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So this is a vital topic, because you could serve the Lord and not please him. Because if you're doing it saying, why do you do what you do? Well, I'm doing it because no one else nominated themselves to do it, so I guess I got stuck with this job. Do you believe God can use that job for his glory and for his honor? Do you believe that whether you're an usher, a greeter, a sounds person, a singer, nursery, do you understand that all of that comes together, and all of the service and all of the work and everything that we do in a service works together for the promotion of the gospel? So whether you're cleaning the church on Saturday or preaching the sermon on Sunday, all of it works together for the glory of God, for souls to be saved. Do you believe that? Some people say, no, I don't believe that. I just do it to do it. Well, then you don't please God. So all that work you're doing is in vain in the sight of God. And maybe you may get an award at the end of the year to say, thank you for your service, but God says there's no prize, there's no credit, there's nothing that I can give you because you did not believe in me while you were doing that service for me. So we look at this now, we come to this hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And the first thing we're going to look at tonight when we look at Abraham is there's faith in the call. Faith in the call. I want us to notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, and I want us to see what it says in verse number 8. And let's do this tonight. Let's all read this together. Let's read this together, okay? Verse number 8. Together, by faith. So this is what I love. Thank you for reading. This is what I love about Scripture, and I love how you could take the Old Testament and the New Testament and line them up together. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to go kind of like a ping pong game. We're going to go back and forth. What's ping pong in Spanish, Brother Mark? Same? Ping pong. Okay? So for the English people, we're going to do a ping pong. For the Spanish brothers and sisters, we're going to do a ping pong. We're going to go back and forth between Hebrews and Genesis. All right? Hebrews and Genesis. So let's see what is the writer talking about in Hebrews? Well, let's find out in the book of Genesis. So take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, but keep a finger or something there in Hebrews, because we're going to go back and forth between Hebrews and Genesis. All right, Hebrews and Genesis. So Genesis chapter 12. And here's what the Word of God says. If you have it, say, God is good. All right. Gracias a Dios. Gracias a Dios. All right, listen. Don't get me started. I love Spanish, by the way. All right. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. So what was spoken of in Hebrews, we're going to see in real time. So Hebrews is looking back at what Abraham did. Genesis is presently looking at what Abraham is doing. You with me? All right. So let's see what happens. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1 says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will shew thee. And then he says, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So somehow, way, shape, form, or fashion, it doesn't really say Moses had the burning bush, Paul had the road to Damascus. So there's nothing really stated exactly what happens, but some way God gets this message to Abraham. And God says, Abraham, I want you to leave where your father's house is. This was the land of Ur, and I want you to go somewhere, but I'm not telling you where you're going to go. And so he says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will shew thee. So we have the directive. Now I want you to recognize some of the things with this, because sometimes we read Scripture and we don't really understand a lot. And I do it sometimes, and you got to go back and you got to study it and look over it. And I can tell you right now, sometimes I preach a message and I go back over it after I preach and I say, I didn't see that. So I want us to understand when it says Abraham had to leave his home, I want you to think about for a second you leaving your home. You leaving your home country. You leaving your family. and all the details that go along with that. You got to uproot the kids out of their school. You got to find a new job. You got to sell the old house and look for a new one. But here's the one thing. Suppose God tells you to go somewhere, but he don't tell you where you're going. And so he tells you to sell the house. He tells you to get the kids out of school. He tells you to quit your job and then wait for him to tell you where to go. That's what he told Abraham. So notice what he left behind. Take your Bibles with me and just turn right to Genesis 11, verse number 26. It says, and Terah was Abraham's father. And Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Let me ask you a question. According to that verse, what do you notice about Abraham? He's a brother. What else? He's a son. Someone said it. He's the firstborn. So that means that he had rights for when his father died, the firstborn got the majority of the stuff. How many firstborn children we have here? Okay? And sorry, ladies, it was really the firstborn sons back in those days, okay? Sorry about that. I didn't make the rules. But the firstborn son was to get all or most, sorry, not all, but most of the father's inheritance. And from what we can see in Scripture, his father, Terah, had some abundance of things that he possessed. And God is now telling Abraham, at this time, Abram, I want you to leave your father's house. I want you to leave that inheritance behind. Leave that with your two brothers. And I want you to go someplace. He had to leave his father's house. He had to leave his country. He had to leave the country where he knew how to speak to go to a country where he didn't know the language, Brother Felipe. He didn't know the customs. He didn't know the culture. He didn't know where to find stuff. So he now has to leave his father's house, and he has to leave his own country to go to a place that he knows nothing about. In fact, he doesn't know nothing about it because he doesn't know where he's going. He has to leave his responsibility. You know what else he leaves? His comfort. I can tell you right now, if driving around with Pastor Bez and his four on the floor stick shift and, you know, different ones, you guys know where everything is, right? Pretty much in San Antonio. Well, I don't know where hardly anything is. I could barely find a hotel. But guess what we use? GPS. Today was the only day, was the first day we didn't use GPS to come from the hotel to the church because I kind of remember things in a weird way. So I remember the exit is 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So I said, okay, I'm going to look for exit 5, 6, 7. So this was the first time that we came to church and I didn't use the GPS. We didn't use the GPS. Why? Because I'm not from around here. Now, if we were in Nassau, oh, I know some back roads. I know some shortcuts, Brother Alex. I know some different areas where you can go. I know some places you don't want to go at night. And I know some places where you're going to go and see some beautiful sunsets. And I know where to get some, y'all ever heard of canep? Probably not canep, but some Bahamian fruits, tamarind. Oh man, you guys haven't lived yet. And I know there's an old lady, and you know, I love giving directions, Brother Marco. I love giving directions. You go down the road, you can see a yellow house and an old lady in front of the yellow house sowing straw. If you see her, you're going too far, so you got to turn back around. I love it. God says, Abraham, you're going to have to leave your comfort zone. I don't know a time, if there's a time in history where comfort has been more of a god to God's people. We want everything easy. We want it quick. We want it easy. We want it now. And for some people, sometimes God is going to move you from your comfort zone so you could stop worshiping comfort and start worshiping Him. So God comes to Abraham and He says, Abraham, you're going to leave your father's house. You're going to leave your country. You're going to leave your comfort. Okay, God, where am I going? I'm not going to tell you. Just start walking. What was Abraham's response? Verse 4. So Abraham, what's the third word? Departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Abraham simply went and did what he did. Let me tell you why Abraham did that. Number one, Abraham listened to the voice of God. Now, when we say the voice of God, I don't want to get you confused. I don't mean that God is up in heaven saying, hello, David, I see you there sitting next to your mother. I want you to go. No, that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is when God calls us, He impresses you with a desire to do something that you probably never had before in your life. Or if you had it before, it might have been this big, and God now makes it this big, and He puts this impression on you. So let me use myself as an illustration. I wanted to be a marine biologist. I love the ocean. I love dolphins. I love sharks. I love stingrays. I love all of that stuff. I love the ocean. And my plan, my goal, my desire was to be a marine biologist, get a government job, and then make some money, and that would be me. Well, when I was about 16 years old, the same evangelist that taught us or taught me how to do Psalm 119, verse 18, when he left, he came and he preached. And I was like, man, this is a great preacher. But when he left, God began to speak to my heart and He said, hey, why don't you do, all of a sudden I had these thoughts, what if I were to do what he is doing? And all of a sudden, the pendulum changed from me wanting to be a marine biologist. And it started to swing over here to me wanting to be a preacher. And so I put that desire went from big to small, and this desire went from small to big. But I could tell you what happened. I was listening to the voice of God. You know what I believe a lot of people do, Pastor Bez? They do what I do with doctors. If you don't go to a doctor, then you won't find out if you're sick. Bad preacher. Go get a physical, go get a checkup, right? But a lot of times what I would do is I would say, well, hey, if I'm okay and I feel fine, if I don't go to the doctor, they're not going to tell me anything's wrong with me and I'm going to be okay. You know what I believe some people do, preacher? I believe some people don't ask God what is His will for their life because they don't want an answer that they don't like. So if I don't ask God to show me His will, then I can keep doing what I'm doing and everything is going to be okay because I don't know. Hey, I don't know if I have any diseases. I don't know if I have high blood pressure. I don't know if I have any problem. Why? Because I don't go to the doctor. And you may not know exactly what God wants you to do because you're saying, no, God, I can't listen for your voice because I'm too busy listening to my own. He listened to the voice of God. He believed God. He believed God. In Hebrews chapter 11, back to verse number 8, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He obeyed. Why? Because he believed by faith. You know what Abraham realized? He has a good God. And if he has a good God, his God's not going to lead him someplace to destroy him. His God's not going to lead him someplace to kill him. His God's not going to lead him to a place to harm him. His God is going to lead him to a place where he can serve him, where he can live for him, where he can grow. Amen. See, we have a bad view of God because we think if God calls us to something, he's going to send us to some third world country where we got to sleep in huts. He believed God. He obeyed God. Question tonight. Will you listen to the call of God? And I'm not saying that everyone has to be a preacher, and I'm not saying everyone has to be a missionary on a foreign field, and I'm not saying everybody has to do this. Here's all I'm asking you to do. Will you at least answer the call? Will you at least pick up the phone and say, God, I want to do this, but God, what do you want me to do? And I will say this with a sad heart. I got an email from a pastor friend last week, and he had 7 churches that I could be, if I wanted to, and if the Lord leads, if he does, I'll go. He gave me 7 churches that needs pastors. And I'm like, where are the men? Where are the young men who want to be called to ministry, who want to serve the Lord in ministry? Where are those men? They may not be answering the call. So first, we see a faith in a call. He went to a place, and God told him to go, and he didn't even know where he was going. But then I want you to see this. I want you to see he had faith in a promise. He had faith in a promise. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, sorry, we're in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, I want you to keep that in mind, and I want us to go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. And then we're going to go back to Genesis to see how this all played out. Romans chapter 4, verse number 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, Father Abraham. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Jump down to verse number 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. I love verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So in Hebrews 11, we hear about Sarah's faith, and in Romans chapter 4, we hear about Abraham's faith, about a promise. What's that promise? Well, let's go to Genesis chapter 12. Back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Verse number 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto land that I will shew thee. Verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. He goes through and he says, he gives him this promise. He says, Abraham, I am going to make you a great nation. Folks, let me ask you a simple question. What is a nation made of? People. Okay? So if Abraham was going to be the father of a nation, what must he have? Children. At the time when God told him this, Abraham was 75 years old, his wife was 65 years old, and they had no children. But God gave him a promise, and he said, you will have a nation that comes through you and your wife, Sarah. You with me? That was the promise. So then we see here, Abraham was 75, Sarah was 65. Then all of a sudden, Abraham got to 100, and the promise was fulfilled. And God gave Abraham a child when he was 100. Turn to your neighbor and say, 100? 100 years old, Sarah being 90 years old. And by the way, because we looked at a verse that talked about Adam being 930 years, Abraham, by this time, now he did live long. He lived 175 years, but this wasn't the same as the 930 years. So he was already old. In fact, he said he didn't count his body but dead. In other words, because we have little heirs, they didn't expect a lot of things to happen. You with me? Thank you. All right. Now here's the problem that I have. The verse said he believed the promise. But every time I read that verse, whether it's Hebrews talking about Sarah or Romans talking about Abraham, I know the story and I'm like, something's wrong. Maybe the Bible contradicted itself. So in Hebrews it says Sarah had this faith. In Romans 4, when it comes to this promise that he would have a child, it said that he staggered, he doubted, he did not doubt, he did not hesitate, he simply believed God. But I have a problem, folks, because I know the story from Genesis. So let's look at this. We can figure out what is the Bible contradicting itself? So let's see what happens. Let's go to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. In Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai. So here's what happens. God gave the promise. And how old Abraham was when God gave him the promise? 75, when he gave him the promise the first time. So this now happens, and Abraham is 86 years old. So 10 years have passed. They got this promise. Here was the promise. Abraham, a great nation, and a nation is made of people, so you got to have some people come out of you. A great nation is going to come out of you. You're going to be the father of many nations. So guess what? You're going to have children. Abraham says, yes, because me and my wife, we don't have any children. We'd love children, but here we go. So after 10 years, 11 years, Sarah says, I don't see anything happening. And she says this, it may be that the Lord wants us to do this in a different way. Now, this is a whole nother message, okay? Whole nother message. Ready? Some of your decisions in your life will turn out to be Ishmael decisions. And some of your decisions will turn out to be Isaac decisions. Ishmael was not a part of God's ultimate plan. God did not tell Abraham to go with Hagar. He said, you're going to have a child with your wife. But here was the problem. Here's the problem. It seems to us, or it seems to me as I read this, that Sarah didn't accept the promise. But I don't think that's what it was. You know what it was? Because the other verse says, by faith Sarah. So she had faith. So I believe it could be one of three things. One of three, either one of these or all of these, I don't know. You know what I believe? Because I see it in myself and I see it in other Christians. Sarah had faith in the promise of God, but she didn't have patience. She believed God could do it, but she said, okay, God, you're not doing this fast enough, so I got to help you. Let me tell you something, folks. God does not need any help. So when we decide that, hey, I can't wait on God, I believe God. Listen, it's not that Sarah said, Abraham, you're not having no child. That's not what she said. She said, you're not going to have a child by me. She believed the promise of God, but she didn't have patience in the God of the promise. She did not let God work his way and do his thing. She calculated in her mind, hold on, my body's 10 years older than when I got this. His body is 10 years older, but we got this promise. We got to do something. When you make decisions out of haste, it's going to be problems, folks. Amen. Take your time. Wait on the Lord. Trust him. Get counsel. Get advice. or else you're going to have a lot of Ishmaels in your life that God never intended for you to have. And you say, oh, I got all these problems. Some of the problems you have is problems that you brought on because you didn't wait on God. So it could be Sarah had faith, but she didn't have patience. So she told Abraham to go with Hagar. Here's another thing. Let's look at what it says in Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, verse 15. So now, this is already after now, Ishmael has already been born. Ishmael is already older. So it says in Genesis 17, verse 15, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Notice Abraham's response, verse 14. And then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? At this time he was 99. 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? This is what I believe Abraham did. God said, Abraham, you and Sarah are going to have a child. And I don't know if this ever happened to you. You're like, okay, what's happening? God says, yeah. Or someone's talking to you. What's happening? Yeah. So true, yes. And I believe that's what happened to Abraham. I believe when he heard that, he said to himself, there's no way that's going to be happening. Not with Sarah. At her age. So Abraham laughed. Now I want you to look at chapter 18. Chapter 18. Notice what it says in verse 14. Chapter 18, verse 12. Chapter 18, verse 12. Then we can go to 14. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, but my Lord being old also? So Sarah laughed, Abraham laughed. But in the New Testament, Abraham never staggered, and Sarah was a woman of faith. How do we reconcile the two? Well, number one, they might have trusted and believed God's promise, but they didn't trust his patience. And secondly, they believed God's promise, but they didn't trust his power. If you read a little further down, you know what Abraham said? Oh Lord, would you bless Ishmael? Would you bless Ishmael, the child out of wedlock, the child that God never told him to have with Hagar? But God, it would make more logical sense, and wouldn't it just be easy for God to change his plan? And God, that way, I don't need to have any more children, which I probably can't. My wife can't have any more children, which she probably can't. She's 90. She's hitting 90. So God, let's do it the easy way and use Ishmael. He believed God was going to do it. He just didn't believe God had the power to do it the way God said he was going to do it. This is the time when we start to figure out, see, sometimes we don't get on the same timetable as God, and we don't get on the same plan as God. And so now all of a sudden we think, okay, now we got to figure this out in our own way, and we've got to solve this problem, and we've got to do this, and we've got to, because I don't see how God's going to do this. Let me tell you something, folks. If you could see how God is going to do everything, you wouldn't need faith. You would just need to know how to read and look and see. God does not give us the information. God does not give us the plan all the time. He doesn't show us everything. I can't explain everything to you, and I'm sure you can't explain everything about your life, but you know what we got to do? We got to trust him. I believe Abraham and Sarah, I believed that they believed God. He was going to send a promise, but he's taking too long, and we already got Ishmael. So God, can you change your plan? Third reason, and like I said, either one of these three you could use, and I like. You know what a third one? The grace of God. The grace of God. So what's the grace of God? Maybe they did lack faith. Maybe they didn't believe God fully, Sister Judy. But the faith, their faith at the end was greater than their belief at the beginning. And God says, because your faith was so huge at the end, and your unbelief was so small at the beginning, when people remember you, I'm going to tell them about your faith. And we're going to push your unbelief on the side. Folks, I don't know which one it is that God did, but I like the third one the best. That God, you know what God does? You know what happens at funerals? It's amazing. Now, I'm not saying it's never happened because I'm sure it's happened before, but it's amazing. I've never been to a funeral where this happened. It's amazing. The minute someone dies, everyone remembers the good memories. And it's like, oh, man, he did this for me, or she did that for me. And it's like, people don't go, well, you know, I want to say something about this guy in his casket. He owes me $50. Never heard it. Never heard it, Pastor Ashton. Never heard it. And I believe God in his sovereignty and God in his love for Abraham and Sarah, recognizing their faith, said, you know what? Since your faith was so big at the end and your unbelief was so small at the beginning, when people read about you in the New Testament, yes, they may remember what happened in Genesis. Yes, they may remember that you didn't have patience. Yes, they may remember you didn't trust in my power. But because at the end of the day, you did, we're going to put that in the Bible, and people remember you as a man and woman of faith. So even if you have messed up in your life, why not let the end of your worship and service to God be greater than your sins against him? And let it be said of you, when God looks at your life, he highlights the positive and shadows the negative. He believed and had faith in a promise. And finally, he had faith in a sacrifice. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22. Folks, we're going to read something. Let's set it up now. God calls Abraham. How old was God? How old was Abraham when God called him? 75 years old. Sarah would have been 65, 10 years apart. God says, Abraham, I want you to get up from your father's house, and I want you to go somewhere. I'm not going to tell you where you're going to go, but just start walking, and I'm going to direct you. Yes, God. He starts walking. He says, hey, Abraham, during this walk, and they actually walked 700 miles from Ur to Canaan. On this walk, hey, Abraham, guess what? By the way, I'm going to make you a great nation. I know you're 75 and your wife's 65, but you're going to have children, and a great nation is going to come out of you. Yes, Lord. And then Abraham went with Hagar because he didn't trust God's timing, but he trusts God's promise. And but God said, no, that's not how I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it through a son. And they kept walking. And then Abraham laughed. Sarah laughed. And God said, don't worry about that. You don't trust my power. Then all of a sudden, the baby is born, and here's Isaac. Could you imagine the praise, the celebration, the joy, the jubilation? The promise has come to pass. And then Genesis 22. And it came to pass, verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountains which I will tell thee of. Say what? What kind of God is this that would tell a man who has been waiting 25 years to have a son, finally have the son is growing up, the promise is proclaimed and taken, we can see the promise, we know this is going to happen, and God says, we're not worrying about Ishmael. You're going to take your only son, the one you love, You can offer him as a burnt offering. Now, question, what would your response be? Take your child, your favorite child, your only child, and offer them as a burnt offering. Verse 3. And Abraham said, "No, Lord, I will not take Isaac. I refuse to kill my son." Is that what it says? And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Abraham didn't even say, "God, can we talk about this for a moment? God, you got a moment? Isn't this the son that you promised me that a nation was going to be? But God, if you kill him, how is the nation going?" God, this ain't making no. Let me tell you something. Sometimes God doesn't make sense in our view. You know why? Because our minds can only see the now. God sees he's Alpha and Omega. He could see time past, time present, time future. We could only see now. We could imagine what's going to happen in the future, but you don't know what's going to happen in the future. That's why we're supposed to say, "Lord willing." I don't know. We're going to be here tomorrow, Lord willing. I don't know what's going to happen, but God knows. And so all of a sudden, this is a time when Abraham should have stood up and Abraham should have said, "But God, no, we can't. That's my only son. That's the son of promise. That's the son you promised. You want me to kill the son that you promised?" But he got his men together. He got his servants. He got Isaac. And they began walking. Verse number 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass. Verse number 4. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Could you imagine that walk? Could you imagine the things going on in his head? Can you imagine the questions? And Abraham said to his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." You know what Abraham's saying? "I don't know how, but God's going to bring this child back down this mountain with me." Now, folks, again, before we jump ahead of ourselves and figure this part out, let me explain to you. When it says, listen to what it is, a burnt offering. A burnt offering in the Old Testament, they would take the animal and skin it. They would cut it into pieces, then set it on fire. It says, chapter 22, verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Imagine the faith his son had in Abraham because of the amount of faith Abraham had in God. The son definitely didn't know what was happening, but he trusted his father because his father trusted God. Do you see the legacy of faith? Your children should trust God like you're trusting God. So it says, both of them together, verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took a knife to slay his son. This is what I believe happened. This is not in the Bible. This is just my imagination. I believe all the angels, they were sitting like this. And when Abraham raised his knife, they did this. Hey. I believe this was like the Super Bowl for heaven. They're saying to themselves, this man, fellas, come here. Gabriel, Michael, come here. Look at this guy. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. Oh, my word. And I believe they were watching. And they say, this man's going to do it, Alex. This man is going to kill his son because God told him to. Then here's what happens. I love this part. It says in verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Notice verse 11. You got to like this. You're going to love this. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham! Stop! No! Don't do that! Abraham! Stop! You're going to kill your son? Verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham! And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest the Lord. Whoa. You mean you didn't know I feared the Lord when I left Ur? I left my father's house. I left the comfort of my home. I left all that. And I started walking to a place where I didn't even know where I was going. You didn't think I feared the Lord then? You don't think I feared the Lord, or you didn't believe I feared the Lord when I was waiting for this son for over 25 years and I staggered not. And yeah, maybe I didn't trust God's timing. And yeah, maybe I didn't trust his power. And maybe I did stumble, but God saw that my belief and my faith was bigger than my unbelief. You don't think I trusted God then? You don't think I feared God then? And the angel said, no. When you're ready to give up the thing you want the most, then God knows you fear him. It wasn't until this, God says, that's my man of faith. Folks, you could sing, you could preach, you could serve, you could usher, you could win souls, you can serve in the nursery, you can serve in the media room, you can serve in the bus route, you can serve anything, you could do it. I can tell you right now. Until you are ready to sacrifice the thing you love the most, God still ain't sure if you fear him or not. That angel said, now we know. So what is it for you? Is it a relationship? That's your relationship. Is it a biblical relationship? But I like the way that person makes me feel. Put on the altar. My will. Here's what I want to do. Here's my plan. I strategize, and here's my plan. Step one, I'm going to do this. Step two, I'm going to do that. Is your all on the altar? When you do this, then God knows, Brother Chad. Then God knows, Brother Urijah. Then, and only then, God knows you fear God. You want to know how great his faith was? Let me just do this one and we're done. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Notice verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now here, listen, look at me for a second. Now we're going to see the reason why Abraham was willing to kill his son. Here it is. Verse 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. You know what Abraham said? Abraham had all the confidence in the world to kill his son because he had all the confidence in the world God was going to raise him up again. After he skinned him, after he cut him into pieces, and after he burned him on fire, he said, my God could raise him back up again. And you say, wow, that's really good. Well, let me tell you why it's so good. Because up to this time, there had never been a resurrection. There had never been a time when, back in like the New Testament, when this one died and rose from the dead, this one died and rose from the dead, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. They didn't have that. Abraham didn't have the advantage that we have of the whole scripture. He didn't know about all these resurrections that was going to happen in the future. He just knew. He just was faithing in the fact that God would raise his son to life, even if he was burned and cut in pieces, because God has to keep his promise. So I believe God. So folks, on a scale of 0 to 10, how's your faith looking now? So tonight, I like the song, is you're all on the altar of sacrifice laid. I hope we have it. Has God spoken? If he has, won't you answer? Do you need to surrender to the call and say, okay, God, I don't know. I have some plans. I have some dreams. I have some desires. But God, if you want me to do anything, I'm willing to do it. Do you have to claim the promises of God and say, you know what, every day I'm going to read about the promise of God. I want to learn more about the promise of God so I can learn the promises and keep the promises. Or today, do you have to offer that sacrifice? Is there something that you have kept away from God and you have to say, God, even if you take it away from me, you can resurrect it and bring it back. Once the piano starts, is you all on the altar? Do as the Holy Spirit does. Do as the Holy Spirit tells us to do. Father, have your will and way in this invitation. Help us to be men and women of faith. In your name we pray. Amen.